Revelation chapter 19. I want to show you something. This week, this has been growing over the past couple weeks as I was studying this subject. But have you ever who has heard that Jesus is coming back for the church? If you've heard that expression, raise your hand. That Jesus is coming back for the church. You know, you're not going to find that in the Bible. It doesn't say Jesus is coming back for the church, does it? Has anyone ever looked for that? It says he comes back for his saints. He's coming back for those that are going to be the bride. You know, I don't know how many churches there are that, you know, people think that, oh, if I become a member of a church, I'm good because Jesus is coming back for his church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he comes back, he knows who are his. You know, you could be sitting right here. You could be a member of Bethany Baptist Church. Jesus is not coming back for Bethany Baptist Church. He's coming back for the saints that attend, that assemble together at Bethany Baptist. That's who he's going to be looking for. There's no guarantee just because you have membership here that that's an automatic ticket to heaven. He's going to judge your life. He's going to look at you and say, are you really bride quality? Now, when I started thinking along these lines, kind of makes me evaluate, am I really in Christ Jesus? You know, several weeks ago we had the communion message, and have you really taken Jesus into your life? Well, here, we're going to talk about the bride, the arrangement of the bride. Look in Revelation 19 and verse 7 through 9. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Okay, so we're talking about true sayings of God this morning. Look in chapter 21, verse 9 and 10. And it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Look with me down to verse 24. And it says, and the scripture says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. What is it? That Jerusalem coming down. In Revelation, it says that bride is New Jerusalem. Why would that be God's bride? Because it says, and the nations of them that are saved shall walk in it. That's why Jerusalem is its bride, is because the saints, that's where they reside now. That's where they lived. The ones from every nation, they are saved. They're in it, New Jerusalem. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, again, that's New Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they... Who's in this city? They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. We're talking about the arrangement of the bride this morning. And you're like, well, Brother Mitch, how does that apply to the book of Genesis? I'm going to tell you in just a second. If you'd like, turn to Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to begin. Let's pray. I would ask that you would just be with us this morning. Help us to understand your scriptures as we see that you're coming back one day for your bride, the saints, those who have given themselves to you. Lord, would you help me to illustrate it this morning? Would you give me the right words to speak? I pray for your Holy Spirit to just guide and to direct, to give us understanding, to open our ears and to open our eyes, Lord, that we may know you and see you in a way that we never have before. Grant us this understanding and help us to apply these things to our life. help us, Lord, to see, are we really the bride of Jesus Christ? Give us this understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I find it really interesting when I study the Scriptures. You know, there's a whole lot of people that come to the earth before Adam or before Moses and David, and we have the book of Solomon as the Song of Solomon that illustrates how we're supposed to live with our spouse. But you really don't see all the intricate details in the choosing of a bride like you do with the story of Isaac's bride. And I think that there's a reason for that. And it is a very unique story, because I'm telling you, if you're going to look for a spouse like we're going to talk about this morning, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle to find somebody like it that. But just because you struggle to find somebody like that doesn't mean that you can't be like that to God. That's how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be His bride, are you not? Is that who He's coming after or not? What does the Scripture say? We just talked about it. Jesus is coming back for who? His saints. Who are going to be His saints when we talk about it in Revelation? His bride. And those people are going to fill New Jerusalem. Now, I want to illustrate this story for you in Genesis chapter 24 the best I can. There's like 60 verses that talk about getting a wife for somebody. Does that even make sense? Not really, unless this is what you're supposed to look like for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know why I say this? Because we will see Isaac, and every scholar will say this, that Isaac paints a picture of Jesus, doesn't he? Who does Abraham take up to the mountain? Isaac. He is supposed to paint the picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do for us one day. Every scholar, every theologian says that. It's not just his death that is supposed to paint the picture, or the sacrificing of Isaac, but it's also his married life. What? He is supposed to be the bride. Here's what happens. Abraham's getting old. Sarah has just died. And he sees his son Isaac. He's distraught about his mom passing away. Isaac's such a hard worker. But now, all the women in his life is gone. And Abraham realizes, you know, Isaac needs a wife. So he calls his eldest servant in and makes him swear an oath. Go and find my son a wife. Don't take her from here. Do you kind of get the picture? He didn't say, take Isaac and help him find a wife. He's like, no, go get my wife. Get my son a wife. You see, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to meet us in the air. The angels are going to take the bride to heaven to be with him, right? Somebody's got to go get him. Abraham says, I need you to go get my son a wife. Don't take my son back there. Go get one. And he says, Abraham, you know, I want to do this, but you're asking a hard thing. She's not going to know him. What if she won't come back with me? Just promise me you won't take my son back. The Lord will send his angel. That angel will prepare the way before you. You know, Jesus came as a messenger at one time to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, today, just like Abraham says to his servant, you're my servant, go get my son a wife. You know, that job is supposed to be all of ours. We're supposed to be looking for Jesus Christ, a bride. Yes, you are part of it, but now you're supposed to go get somebody else. You have now become the messenger. If you believe God's report, do you believe that Jesus is a Savior? Do you believe that He washes away people's sins? Do you believe that He takes people to heaven? Do you believe that He's prepared a place? Do you believe that there's a hell that lost people go to? If you believe those things, you need to be a messenger. Why would you not want to be a messenger? The servant is sent as a messenger. Guess what? Tag. You're it now. Now you are the servant of God. And you are sent to find more to be the bride of Jesus Christ, just like this servant was. You have a commitment. Do you realize that? And if you don't believe this, I just want you to think about this just for a second. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, the Scripture will say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What did Jesus do when He was here? He gave us the example of how the messenger is supposed to work. Go ye into all the world. Go look for that bride. Be the disciple. Make the disciple. Baptize. Teach. Bring them in. Y'all recognize all those terms? The Scripture's full of them. That we have a job to do. These works are ordained of God. Do you know what ordained means? That means He said it, you must do it. Are you bride quality material? That's what we're going to start talking about. Let's look at this bride just for a second. When we get to verse 12 and verse 14, as we get to those verses in Genesis, the servant is gone. He goes over and he says, "Fine, I'll do it, Abraham." And he gets 10 camels. And he heads towards where Abraham was from. Now, I'm telling you, it's not just a day's journey. It's several days. Maybe even a month. I don't know how long it took him to get there. You know, it depends on how fast a camel can walk, I guess. That's how long it took. And he's going. 10 camels, a couple extra guys with him. And they get to this well outside of the city where Abraham's family lives. Now, we're talking about a pretty good-sized city. Probably, I don't know if it may have been as big as Jonesboro. I don't know. It was a good-sized city. It's been there a long time. And the servant gets there, and he's at the well, and he's like, I can just picture, man, Abraham has asked me to do the hardest thing. Hey, God has asked you to do a hard thing, to be a witness. Oh, my goodness. Hard thing, especially, you're like, well, what if they reject me? That's the same thing the servant is thinking. What if she rejects me? And he prays, Lord, just in his heart, he doesn't get down on his knees. He doesn't make a spectacle. But what he does is he says, God, when whichever damsel comes out and I ask her to drink, and she says, I'll let you have a drink, and I'll water your camels too. Now you think, so what? What big deal is that? You realize that one camel can drink 53 gallons? And she's got a pitcher. You know, I ran some water for my chickens this morning. They, you know, it was frozen outside. And I turned on the water faucet, and I stuck a pitcher underneath it. And I'm telling you, I think it ran for a minute to fill up that pitcher. You're thinking, you got slow running water. Hey, a gallon's a lot of water. One camel, 53 of those. I'm telling you, if I was going to have to do 530-some-odd gallons of water, I would still be over that sink trying to get 530 gallons for camels, because it's not like, oh, here we go. She had to walk down into the well, down these steps, because that's where the well was, down inside the ground. And then she would walk up the steps, more than two probably, water the camel, back down 530 times. That's what we're talking about. And he says, God, whatever young lady will do that, I know she's the one. You're like, what are you asking? You're asking a lot of that young lady. Let me tell you, the scripture says, before he finished the prayer, in his heart, he saw one coming. And he runs to her and says, hey, would you give me something to drink from your pitcher? And she immediately says, yes, I'll give you a drink, and I'll water your 10 camels too. And the scripture says he just sits there and just in awe of what God has done. He hadn't even finished the thought in his heart. And God had already prepared the young lady who was coming out willing to do it. Let me tell you, if you're going to be the messenger, if you're going to be the one who's looking for more of the bride, to fill New Jerusalem, you got to have some prayers that you have some faith in. It's okay to pray hard prayers. It's okay to ask God, will you really show me what you want me to do? Lord, will you point me in the path of that person? How many of you prayed this week? Lord, would you put me in the path of somebody who needs you today? Have you prayed that? Far too many people that call themselves Christians don't even pray that simple prayer. And you got to wonder why. You afraid of rejection? He was. But he had faith. And he prayed to God, would you send me that person? And wouldn't you know, God wants more of his bride. Why wouldn't he do that for you? If he sees your heart that it's faithful to complete his mission, why wouldn't he put you in the path of someone who needs him the most? He absolutely would. Did he care enough about you to get you the message? He did. Maybe there's a bunch of other people out there that he cares about enough to get that message too, but he wants to use you. But he's looking for somebody that's got some faith, who's not afraid to pray. Who's not afraid, let's be honest for a second. We've been praying on the last Tuesday night for the last 3 months, and there's still room at one of those white tables for more people. That's how many people come. What does that mean? Do we really believe in prayer? Do we really believe that our mission is to fill New Jerusalem with the bride of Christ? Do we really care that people are lost and dying and going to hell? That's where we're at. And I wish there wasn't a church that wasn't afraid to do that. Every church has got the problem. Does that mean it's okay? It absolutely means it's not okay. That means that there's some struggling brideness going on, if that's really a word. That we're not acting like the bride of Christ. We're not. Characteristics of this bride. When we get down to verse 15, it says, and before he spake, Rebekah came out. He didn't know her name was Rebekah. He didn't know that she was from that family, but God knew, and he sent her. And she immediately says, oh yeah, I'll do it. Let me tell you what a characteristic of the bride is. When we look at Rebekah, who is willing to use her little pitcher. This is all that she had, was to dip a little bit of water. And she says, not only will I give to you, I'll give to your camels. And she says, I'm willing to do it 530 times. He didn't ask her to water his camels. That came from her heart. That came because she wanted to be a blessing. That came because she was willing to do above and beyond what was really asked of her. What if those who call themselves the bride of Christ would really say, I am willing to do above and beyond what God is even asking me to do. Beyond my limits. Man, it's going to take me all day long to water those camels. And she was willing to do it. She volunteered to do it. The scripture says that she was a very fair young lady. But I can just imagine she wasn't smelling too good after after 530 times. She wasn't afraid to work. She wasn't afraid to sweat. She wasn't afraid to do anything. You know, I was talking to my dad. He's saying, you know, people are afraid to do it. They're afraid in the church. They're afraid of this. They take extra insurance because they're afraid. Hey, let me tell you, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you have the spirit of fear, it's not from God, it's from the devil. And God has given you a demon to plague you. And it is time that we overcome the devil and we live in the spirit of faith and not the spirit of fear. It's time that we cast out the devil from our life and we accept Jesus Christ fully into our life and integrate Him and be willing to do whatever. It's the characteristic of ministry to do it when you're not even asked to do it. You just see there's a need. She came up. She saw thirsty camels. And she says, thirsty camels need water. They need a lot of water. I'm willing to dip up as much water as it needs to water 10 camels that can drink 53 gallons of water apiece. She was willing to do it. Do you realize that we've got a bunch of kids that come on Wednesday nights? They're all after water, the living water. We could sure use some dippers. We could. It was just me and Joyce this past Wednesday. Sister Peggy stepped in to help with the nursery. We had almost 20 kids back there. We need some dippers. They're begging for the water. They're thirsty. They're hungry for the gospel. And God says, you're the bride. You shouldn't have to ask to do it. You should just step in because you know that there's a need to do. And there's so many different things. The kids are going to try to reach the homeless. So many things. They all need workers. Jesus would even say, look, the fields are white unto harvest. The laborers are few. Let me tell you, the laborers are very, very few. As we continue in the story, after she's done, the servant runs over and puts an earring in her ear, puts bracelets on her, and he says, whose daughter are you? And she says, my dad is Haran, the brother of Abraham. And I've got a brother and I've got a mother. And all of a sudden, he's excited because he knows that not only has the Lord answered his prayer in an awesome way, he has sent the one who Abraham had asked for, find somebody for my family. And the Lord God went ahead, planted in this little girl's mind, and she was willing to do these things. And come to there right as he got there, she's headed out there. Hey, let me tell you, God is a powerful God, and He is working in ways that we don't even understand. But what He's looking for is people who are willing to be the bride to go out to be those witnesses. And let me tell you what she did. As soon as she heard the news, she's like, we got plenty of room. There's straw for your camels. There's lodging. There's plenty to eat. I'll go tell my family. And she runs back and she tells her family. She tells her brother Laban. And he's like, well, let's go get him. And they prepare and they go out and they get him and bring him in. And he gets there. And they say, hey, why don't you eat with us? And all of a sudden the servant says, First I gotta tell you what my mission is. You see, my master Abraham, he had a son from Sarah who was old, and she's passed away now, and he told me to go find her, or to go find his son a bride from his family. And I got to your well and I said the prayer, and I hadn't even got it out of my heart, and God had already answered. He'd already answered the prayer before he even finished it. See, God knows what's on your heart. He knows just really what your mission is. And He already provided. He'd already sent the right person to the right place at the right time because there was a willing servant who knew this is an impossible task. How am I going to complete this? I don't know. But you serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. Do you believe that? And he says, the God has just provided. And they're like, we can't say anything against this. This is amazing. If God really has done this, she must be supposed to go with you. They didn't even stand. They didn't even try to talk him out of it. They're like, hey, if God is at work, she's supposed to go. Hey, even they recognize God was working there, and they were saying, if God is working there, we must get on board with where God is working and follow Him. Are you looking to see where God is working in your life? Are you looking to see where God is working in this church? Are you getting on board on where God is leading? Not just saying, giving God a thumbs up. You're good, God. God is not interested in thumbs up. He's interested in hands on. And He says, are you on board? Are you in this? You see, they were on board. We're giving you our daughter, our sister. If God's in this, she's supposed to go with you. So they eat. They have a good time of fellowship. The next morning, he wakes up and he says, would you let me go? While God has just profited so much, send me back. Send me and the girl back. And they're like, what if you just wait 10 days? 10 days. And he's like, God has just been so profitable. Don't delay me. Don't delay God's work. Send us on to fulfill God's mission in our life. God's got a plan for her. Send her on to God's work. Don't hold her back. If you stay and think about it too long and you know what's God's will, you may talk yourself out of it. Don't do that. Send her on. And this is what they did. They said, well, we'll ask the girl. Rebecca, would you come here? This is what he wants to do. He wants to leave right now. Are you ready to go? And she said, yes. She's like, I'm not holding back. Whatever God's asked me to do, I'm ready to go right now. She was willing to go by faith. Let me tell you what this meant for her. It wasn't like she was moving to Perigold. She was moving across the nation. She was moving to another nation. She realized, I may never see my brothers again. She never saw her brothers again, as far as we know in the Scriptures. She knew that she wasn't. She was not there when her mother passed away. She was not there when her nephews and nieces were born. She said, I'm willing to do, by faith, whatever God... She didn't even know this stranger. He's brand new to her life. And she says, I'm willing to follow Him because He is the servant of Almighty God. I can tell He is. Abraham's a chosen vessel. We've heard the stories of Abraham. That's not foreign to us. We know God is blessing him. I'm willing to join the work that God has called Abraham into. Man, we need to ask that question. Are we willing to join the work that God has called Abraham into? To reach out into this lost and dying world. And she says, I will go by faith. She was. Can you imagine the risk of that? I can't even imagine, Brother Sean, if somebody said, hey, they come into my life, they say, this is who I am. Okay, I'm kind of familiar with you, but I want your daughter to marry my son, and you're never going to see your daughter again. That'd be tough. That'd be tough for me to do. But this family, They said, yes, go. She said, yes. She was willing to risk it. Man, I tell you, we live in a time where if we're unwilling to risk a little bit for, I mean, she risked a lot, but we're afraid to risk anything most of the time. For the gospel, for God's work to be done in her life. She risked it all. She didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know that Isaac wasn't ugly. She didn't know that. She didn't know if this guy was lying to her. She didn't know nothing like that. But she said yes anyway. Because she had faith. God's bride has faith like Rebecca. If we don't have faith like that, we've got some issues we need to deal with. Because He has called us. Hey, what does the Scripture say? The just live by what? Faith. We live by faith. We don't live by our bank account. We don't live by securities. We don't live by emotion. We live by faith. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just live by faith. And Rebecca says, by faith, I'm leaving the world that I know, and I'm going to seek God's will for my life. Whatever it is, I'm ready to go. Let's go now. That's what Rebecca said. And they left. They saddled up those camels, and they headed back. I'm sure as they're going back that she's asking the servant, what's Isaac like? Is he handsome? I'm sure that's an important question, right? Kaylin's back there smiling. She's like, yep, that's important. Is he a hard worker? How's his relationship with God? Is he mean? Is he loving? And he's asking the servant all about Isaac. And he's telling her. And they finally get to the south part of the country where Isaac lives. And Isaac, he's out there. The Scripture says that he came out there to meditate. Came out there to talk to God. Pray for a little bit. When he looked up, he saw the caravan of the 10 camels. Coming his way. And I'm sure the whole time he's wondering, oh man, I hope he didn't bring me back somebody ugly. I hope he just didn't take the leftovers. I hope he just didn't get somebody that was just anybody. But he got the right person. That he followed God's will. That he followed God's plan. I'm sure that was going through his mind. And the Scripture says that as she looked up, Rebecca saw him. She's like, who is that? She knew. He's like, yep, that's Isaac. She jumped off the camel. She put a veil on her face. And it says that Isaac loved her. He married her. The servant brought the bride to Isaac. And he loved her. Man, one of the most fantastic stories of the Scripture. Of how the servants are supposed to bring the bride to God's man. Hey, God's man is Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be, not only are we the bride, we're also the servants. We're supposed to be bringing in more to fill Jerusalem. Hey, the Scripture says in Ephesians 5:27 that we're supposed to present themselves glorious. We're supposed to present ourselves glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but they that should be holy and without. See, Rebecca wanted to present herself just like this, glorious. No spot, no wrinkle, no doubts, recognizing this is God's plan. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I will be holy and without blemish. No doubts. No fears. No second guesses. But understanding what the bride is really supposed to be. What did Revelation say? That Jesus Christ is waiting for His bride. They're going to be dressed in white. They're going to feel New Jerusalem. Let me ask you something. Do you match these characteristics of the bride? You think, Brother Mitch, that's not a fair comparison. You need to explain to me why God put this kind of romance in the front of His book. And then at the end of His book, He talks about a bride arranged for her husband. When there's no other picture like this in the whole Bible, there's not. You're never going to find another one pictured just like this. I'm telling you, because what God started in the book of Genesis, He completed in the book of Revelation, and part of that is the bride. He painted a picture for what He wants His bride to look like. He wants His bride to look like Rebecca. And those, the Scripture says, they will inhabit New Jerusalem, a bride adorned for her husband. That's what we're going to see. But there's going to be those. They don't believe that. They don't believe anything that I just said this morning. But let me tell you what they're going to say. Look back in Revelation real quick. Look at Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination, or maketh a lie. You know, 21:8 talks about no liars going there. No liars are in heaven. No false converts. No people that say, I'm a Christian, but I refuse to walk by holiness. I refuse to present myself as glorious or having spot. Oh, I've got lots of spots, but God loves me anyway. God wants to wash away all those things from your life. He wants to make you pure. He wants to make you holy. He wants to present His Son, a bride who's without blemish. And the call comes out to you. Do you believe that? Do you resemble those remarks? Are you really a bride adorned for Jesus Christ? I think it would change the whole way our church life would look if we who are called the bride would say, I'm going to live like Rebecca. I'm going to present myself like her. If God asks me to do something, I'm willing. 530 camels, bring it on, God. Bring on 20 camels. It doesn't matter. I'll work all day, all night, until I just can't anymore. I'll do it because there's a need, and I recognize the need. I'm looking for the need. I'm willing to fill the need. I want to do it. I'm so excited when I hear the good news of the gospel that I must go and tell everybody. The first people I come in contact with, I'm excited about the good news. Just like Rebecca was. So excited about the messenger and willing to share that message with her family. She was there. She went. And then recognized God's plan. She's like, man, if that's the message. She didn't tell me that part, but I accept it. I'm willing to go. When are you ready to go? Right now, send me on. God, you got something for me? Let's do it right now. She wanted it. She wanted God's will and His plan to be fulfilled in her life. She was not afraid of the risk. She lived by faith. She's like, I don't know what's in my future. I don't know what He looks like. I don't know where we're going. But by faith, I'm willing to do it. No turning back. Not somebody who Jesus would say, no person who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. She held on to it and she did not look back. She never went back. She just went straight. She presented herself glorious. No spot. No wrinkle. Holy. Without blemish. The song leader would come. Let's pray, dear Lord. Thank you for this message. Thank you for presenting Rebecca to us. Lord, would you help us to live our lives according as you have shown in your scripture? I know this is a hard message, but Lord, it is one that we need in our time. Every day I read about pieces of your assembly here in America falling away and giving their selves over to doctrines of devils. I mean, it really is of devils. They're giving into it. Heaping to themselves preachers and teachers having itching ears. Lord, we need some solid ground in our country. We need some solid ground in our life. Lord, we need some help. Lord, we need some faith. We need more of your word. Lord, would you guide us? Help our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.